Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And once a month, we get together with the experts at Optum to talk about a health concern. And certainly, as we've been coming out of the pandemic, one of the things that we've been touching on a little bit during our morning Ask the Doctor segments has been the need to make sure that our kids are back to their regular schedule of getting those immunizations, getting those child visits done, because that was one thing that a lot of folks unfortunately did let slip over the period of pandemic, when many people were being told to stay at home to minimize the risk of contagion due to coronavirus. So let's welcome to the show Rhonda Heschel, a pediatric nurse practitioner at Optum's pediatric specialist location at Powers and Woodman. Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. You know, as we talk about getting back to pediatric care and vaccines, I mean, when we talk about getting back to that routine that people were in once they had a child and they were used to those regular, especially summertime, you know, back to school visits that we would do with our health professionals, it seems like a lot of parents let those slip, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, we were told to stay home, and so we did. And now we're realizing that a lot of children have missed out on their regular well visits and also on their vaccines. So we really want to get kids back into the office so that we can check in with parents and families. So many things have happened, you know, over the past year, and we want to address any concerns or questions that have come up since we saw their child. We want to make sure that their child is growing as we would hope for their age, making sure that their development is on track, so their speech, their motor skills, and all of those important things that we look at.
And you kind of touched on it, but why is getting back to normal care so important?
Well, lots of reasons. You know, as school is getting ready to start, we want to make sure that kids are healthy and ready for the school year. We want to make sure that if they have a chronic condition like asthma or allergies, that that's well controlled, that they have updated medications, that their forms are all filled out for school. And we want to make sure that they get their vaccines caught up as well.
Yeah. Have a lot of children been, getting behind on their vaccines?
Yes. We know from the decrease in the ordering of vaccines that we are giving fewer vaccines just because people haven't been coming in. So we have hard data that shows we're vaccinating fewer kids, and we really worry that we're going to see outbreaks of vaccine-preventable diseases like measles and whooping cough.
And that has actually happened in Colorado, right, in times past?
Yes. In 2019, there was a measles outbreak in Denver, and that was before the pandemic. So with fewer kids getting vaccinated, that just increases the risk that that could happen again. You know, one reason that we worry about measles in particular is that it's very contagious, and it can have really serious consequences, you know, really scary things like brain swelling and lung infections. So measles is one of the really important childhood vaccines that we want to make sure everyone is up to date with. And unfortunately, Colorado is one of the lower states in terms of our rate of measles vaccination. So we're already a little bit behind with that vaccine anyway. So the pandemic just puts us even further behind. So we really want to see those kids come into the office and get those vaccines updated.
When you talk about measles, it reminds me that I don't know a lot about measles. Sometimes I think in my head that it's very similar to chickenpox, but what you're describing is a much more serious disease that can, you know, have really serious complications. When you talk about the importance of getting the very young children also caught up on their vaccines, why is that so critical?
Yes, absolutely. Just to talk about measles for one more second, measles is extremely contagious. And so just like many other illnesses, you are contagious before you have any symptoms. So really, it's great to think I'll avoid sick people, but that doesn't work, because if people are contagious before they have symptoms, you can't avoid them. And, you know, measles is really about 1/3 of kids that get measles end up hospitalized. And so that's just a really important childhood vaccine. In terms of young children, the younger a child, the smaller their airways. And so the younger the child, the higher risk that kiddo is for having complications if they get a respiratory illness. You know, as we get older, our lungs get bigger and things aren't so dangerous. But the smaller you are, the higher your risk for having a complication if you get one of these childhood diseases. That's why it's so important to vaccinate early on the schedule and when your kiddos are little.
Mm-hmm. And one of those diseases that we vaccinate against is polio. Is polio similarly dangerous and risky of a disease like what we're talking about? You hear of very few cases of polio that are out there active now, of course, but certainly that's due to vaccines.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes it's hard to remember how many lives vaccines save because we don't see those illnesses anymore. And when I started out as a nursing assistant in a nursing home many, many years ago, I had a patient who had polio and her legs were paralyzed. She had to be lifted from one place to another. She had a lot of chronic pain in her legs. And so it really made an impression on me that polio is something we need to keep preventing. We know that those cases can pop up in unvaccinated communities. And so our prevention of these diseases are only as good as our vaccination rates. So polio is something we don't think about and we don't have to confront, but we want to keep it that way. So, you know, that's just as important as all the other childhood vaccines, for sure.
Well, it's certainly dovetailing into our subject for today, why it's so important to keep kids on their regular health care schedule and maybe return them back to a normal schedule if perhaps you took a break during the pandemic. We are talking to Rhonda Heschel, pediatric nurse practitioner. Her phone number at Optum is 719-597-8704. We need to take a short break here. We'll be back with more of The Extra after these messages. We're back with Rhonda Heschel, who's a pediatric nurse practitioner at Optum's pediatric specialist location at Powers and Woodman. We're talking about the importance of children being on vaccination schedules. Certainly, we know that we're advised that when we leave the hospital with a brand new baby, the nurses there and nurse practitioners and doctors all emphasizing the importance of, you know, the getting of the vaccines on those schedules. But the pandemic threw that all into, it seemed like, a lot of disarray, even though the message still was from the medical community to not drop those vaccines. It kind of came in conflict with a lot of people's fears and concerns about going out and getting those vaccines. So let's talk about this, Rhonda, why it's so important to vaccinate children on schedule.
It's so important to vaccinate kiddos on schedule so that we know that they are protected. You know, vaccines are tested in a certain way. So we know that at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months, kids get these vaccines. And that's the way those vaccines are tested, and that's the way we know they're effective. So when we get off that schedule, we hope that they're as protected as if, you know, they had followed the schedule. But we want to just make sure. So doing your vaccines on the schedule that those vaccines were tested with is the most effective way to know that your child is protected. The other thing is that when we have kiddos come into our office, there are some children that are under 2 months of age who haven't had the opportunity to receive their vaccines yet, and we want to protect those kids. So, you know, it's important for as many people as possible in our office to be vaccinated so that we're not putting anyone who's unvaccinated at risk. And that can be infants under 2 months, that can be a parent who's immunocompromised, a child who's immunocompromised. That can be someone undergoing chemotherapy for cancer. Their immune system becomes depressed and they are at a much higher risk for contracting diseases when they're doing chemotherapy. My best friend here in the Springs has an autoimmune disorder, and although she receives vaccines, we don't know how well her body makes antibodies in response to those vaccines. So, you know, me being vaccinated protects her because I won't be giving her anything that she may not be able to fight off.
Right. And sometimes we don't even know that someone else in our circle or even that we're having casual contact with has one of those, like you said, immunosuppressant issues. You know, people with heart or organ transplants, they may be on those immunosuppressant drugs to, you know, make sure that they don't reject the organ that's been donated. But that's not often visible to the rest of us. And not having those vaccinations and perhaps harboring one of these diseases could put them at a fatal risk.
That's absolutely true. And you can't see those things. I remember finding out after college that some of my friends in college had different illnesses, diseases, chronic diseases that I didn't know about, that they just didn't want to talk about and didn't want, you know, they wanted to be just normal people and they didn't talk about their issues. And as an adult looking back, I think, gosh, you know, I hope we protected them appropriately. But, you know, like you said, that's an excellent point. Anyone with any kind of organ transplant takes daily immunosuppressive medications. And so we really need to protect those folks as well.
So what are some of, when we're talking about children, it's not just school-age children. What about infants? What are some key vaccines for infants?
So one of the key vaccines that I think about for infants is the DTaP vaccine, which is for diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. Pertussis is whooping cough, and it's called whooping cough because it causes spasms of cough, really, really severe spasms that kind of leave you out of breath, and so you breathe in really deep with like a whoop at the end of the cough. So you can imagine that if that spasmodic cough is in a very small infant, like a 1 month old, they are going to have a really hard time getting through an illness like that. Whooping cough is something we see every year. We have about 15,000 cases of whooping cough in the U.S. every year because our immune response to the DTaP vaccine kind of decreases over time, making those booster shots really important when it's time for those.
And whooping cough can have some serious complications too, it sounds like.
It can. First of all, it lasts a really long time. Whooping cough lasts for about 6 weeks. So you're coughing for a very long time. 30% of infants who get whooping cough end up in the hospital. And it can lead to complications like pneumonia, seizures, brain disorders, and death in some cases. So, you know, we tend to forget that, you know, the worst can happen. And, you know, we don't want that to happen, but it's certainly possible.
Okay. Moving on, you know, so we have the infants, but that doesn't mean that the vaccines stop once they reach toddler age. What kind of vaccines are we talking about that are key for toddlers?
So when a child is 1 year old, we vaccinate against measles, mumps, and rubella, chickenpox, and hepatitis A. You know, some people think that chickenpox is a common childhood disease. So, you know, we don't really need to vaccinate against that. We forget that, you know, before we started vaccinating for chickenpox, about 100 children a year died from complications of chickenpox, which is often pneumonia. So we are saving lives even by vaccinating against chickenpox. The other thing about chickenpox is that it's worse on you the older you get. My husband actually had chickenpox as a college student, and he was miserable. It was a terrible, terrible illness for him. So, you know, for a lot of people, chickenpox is kind of that childhood, at least when we were kids, it was that childhood, you know, thing that we all had. But for some kids, it's really dangerous and a really, really unpleasant illness.
Okay. Well, when we come back with Rhonda Heschel, we're going to be talking about common concerns about vaccines. That's when The Extra continues after these messages. We're back with more of The Extra. Our guest today, Rhonda Heschel, a nurse practitioner, a pediatric nurse practitioner, I should say, at Optum's Pediatric Specialist location at Powers and Woodman. We'll be giving her contact information at the end of this segment so you know how to contact her. Rhonda, we've been talking about things people should know about vaccines, but even so, there are always people who have concerns about vaccines. Let's talk about these. Are vaccines safe?
Vaccines are very safe and they're very effective. The Centers for Disease Control estimates that childhood vaccines prevent over 40,000 childhood deaths every year. That's huge. Vaccines are one of the top public health accomplishments of our medical system. And there are very rarely, complications from vaccines, but it's so rare, and vaccines save so many lives that it's really important to really consider the benefit versus the risk for any given child.
What are some of the side effects that we should be aware of that can crop up?
Sure. Common side effects are just really pain at the injection site, occasionally some redness or swelling. Small children or infants can be fussy. Sometimes they have a low-grade fever. We can usually manage those with just cool compresses or a dose of Tylenol or acetaminophen. If they're over 6 months, we can use ibuprofen as well.
And some parents do get concerned when they have that baby and there's a certain schedule, sometimes a pretty intense schedule of vaccines that are clumped together. Are the number of vaccines safe?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we vaccinate against 14 different childhood illnesses now, and that is more than when I was a kid. And some people do worry about that. You know, are we giving too many at one time? And that's a great question. It's not the case that it's too many at one time. So, you know, if you think about how kiddos put things in their mouth constantly, you know, your body is processing hundreds of different proteins every day and deciding, is this something I need to make antibodies against? So really what we are giving them in terms of vaccines is such a tiny number in comparison to what they're putting into their mouths every day just from the environment. So so it really is safe to do those vaccines together. The other thing to think about is that the vaccines we use today are so much cleaner than the ones we used when I was a kid. Even though we vaccinate against more diseases today than we did, 30 years ago, there are 10 times fewer things in those vaccines for kids. You know, the vaccines that we use at Optum are all preservative-free, and so there's nothing in there other than the absolute ingredients that make your immune system respond to those vaccines.
Interesting. And you talk about, coming into the office to get these vaccines. That's where you have to do it. Is this something where people should feel safer, especially, now that there's more vaccination, especially among hospital staff, et cetera? Is this where people should feel safe coming in to get those vaccines?
Yes, definitely. It's so hard to feel safe, isn't it? I it's just been such a long road for everyone.
It definitely was a new and a foreign sensation for, I think, a lot of people to feel unsafe about venturing outside. And, it's tough to reverse that.
It is. It's really tough. We spent over a year, really being so careful, and it's hard to know how quickly we can return to normal. And our offices are super safe. All of our staff are vaccinated. We screen everyone who comes into the office for any signs of illness. We take their temperature. We give them a fresh mask if they've come from the outside. Everyone in our office wears a mask during your entire visit. And all rooms are completely sanitized between patients. And we see well visits in the morning, and then we see sick kids in the afternoon so that we can keep those populations of people separate. And for that transition time between the morning and the afternoon, we have kids leave from a different exit so that they don't, even meet someone in the waiting room. So we have really good practices in place to keep everyone safe.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the importance of vaccines and getting back to those regular visits, the well child visits that keep your kids safe and keep those around them safe as well, because vaccines not only protecting the recipient of the vaccine, but also those around them. When we come back, we'll be talking about some measures that we can take to prepare and care for our young kiddos and even some of our older kiddos as they get shots and prepare for the school year. We're talking to Rhonda Heschel, pediatric nurse practitioner. I wanted to give you her contact information, 719-597-8704. The Extra continues after this. We're back with our monthly Optum Ask the Doctor Extra show. And today we are talking with Rhonda Heschel, a pediatric nurse practitioner for Optum's pediatric specialists over at Powers and Woodman. And we'll give you her contact information again right at the end of the show. Okay, Rhonda, we know that we have an appointment coming. We know that our child is going to get vaccinated. We're not sure what we can do to make sure that that vaccination process goes smoothly for the child and as, you know, painless as possible. So tell us how we can prepare our kids.
That's a great question. You know, as parents, it's hard to see our kids hurt even for just a minute. So it's definitely good to be prepared. And the first thing to do is just know that you're doing such a good thing for your child to get them vaccinated and to really feel confident about that, so that that confidence translates to them when you're in the visit with them. So, you know, even small children can sense that as parents, we feel comfortable and then they feel comfortable as a result. So even though it's really tempting, try not to tell them that vaccines won't hurt, because they do hurt for a minute. So try to let them know that you'll be there with them the whole time. And it's a hard thing to get a vaccine, but you know they can do it, and you're proud of how brave they're being. For little children, bring something that they like to have as a comfort item. So a stuffed animal or a blanket, their favorite book or a toy. Those sorts of things help distract them both before and after the vaccines, so that they're ready and you're ready.
And sometimes there can be other strategies, inside tips I know that medical professionals have. Do you have any of those?
We use distraction a lot with our vaccines. The medical assistant that I work with, Valerie, she has a great strategy with younger kids, and our patients just love coming to see her. She'll ask the child their favorite song, and then she'll sing with them while she does their vaccines. And, you know, we ask parents to give them big hugs afterwards and let them know how proud they are of them. And that really helps. It really helps the child feel like they've done something important.
I love it. And certainly it might lessen the tension if I'm singing Fruit Salad, Yummy Yummy by the Wiggles. You know,
gotta love the Wiggles, right?
Well, my baby's getting a vaccine. Okay, so you tell them at the end you want to wrap this up and make sure that they know that this was not an experience to be feared, but an experience that they just have to muster through. So tell us, what's the best way to do that?
I think, you know, it starts on the beginning of the visit to let the child know, you have a vaccine today. And I'm here with you the whole time. And, you know, we're doing this to keep you healthy. And it's important that we do it. And just try to be matter of fact about it. A lot of times I'll have parents say, oh, I didn't know if they were getting vaccines, so I told them they didn't need any. And that just makes it harder for the kiddo when there actually is a vaccine. So if you don't know, just say, I don't know. We'll find out when we get there, and Miss Rhonda will tell us, you know. So it's okay if you don't know. Just we'll tell you when you get to the office what's due that day. And then afterward, just giving them, you know, a toy they like, read a book to them, look out the window if there's a window in the room, talk about the cars going by. Distraction is a really powerful tool to help young children.
And we're talking about young children, but I apparently did not handle this well with my young child. And now she's an older child who's still kind of fearful of vaccines. So what can we do to prepare older kids for getting vaccines?
Yeah, adolescents can be really challenging. You know, they have had lots of years to get a little bit apprehensive about vaccines. And so sometimes adolescence can be really, really a challenge. But it's, you know, it's also been a lot of years since they've had a vaccine sometimes, when, especially when they come in for their 11-year vaccines. And so we see that all the time. So for adolescents, you know, you really want to use that same matter-of-fact approach that we use with smaller kids. But we can involve the teenagers in their own, you know, their own experience, and offer them distraction tools they can use themselves to kind of empower them through those vaccines. So two of the tips that we use, one is blowing out a big breath when they get the vaccine. So I'll tell a kid, you know, when Val's getting ready to do your vaccine, take a big breath in and then blow it out really hard, and that vaccine will be done. And of course, don't look at the needle if you're scared of needles. That's always important to remind them. And then, you know, if a kid needs more than one vaccine at the 11-year visit, we give a Tdap vaccine, a meningitis vaccine, and an HPV vaccine to protect against cervical cancer and other cancers. So, you know, they have to get through more than one during the visit. So one thing that I will do is tell them, okay, spell your name in your head backward for the next vaccine. And if you give a kid a task to do, they can't focus as much on their fear and what's happening. So, you know, giving them some sort of mental task is really helpful in distracting them.
Interesting, interesting. And then afterwards, what can you do?
Afterwards, you want to let them know how proud you are of them, that you know getting vaccines is hard. You know, so many kids, even adolescents, will cry because of all the tension that builds up and their fear, and that's completely okay. You know, we expect kids to cry after vaccines, even the older kids sometimes. And so, you know, give them a hug and just acknowledge their feelings. I know that was hard. I know that was stressful. And I'm so proud of you. You did a really hard thing. And that just really, you know, even if they are still a little bit stressed about it, giving them that positive feedback really helps them for the next time. Yeah. And that's something that we can always do.
And, you know, giving them a stuffed animal might not hurt either. You're never too old for a stuffed bear, right?
That's right. We carry stuffed animals around with us for a long time.
Rhonda, as we get ready to wrap up here on this episode of our Ask the Doctor Extra, any other special reminders for our listeners?
One more thing in terms of adolescents, you know, sometimes adolescents feel a little bit lightheaded after their vaccines. So it's definitely okay to take your time, let them sit, maybe offer them something to drink before they leave the office so that they don't feel dizzy as they're walking out to your car in the parking lot. So, you know, take your time. It's really okay. And then also, you know, don't forget to get your flu vaccine this fall. We are hoping that the school year is going to be much more normal and with kids back to school in person. And we really want to protect against the flu, especially kids with asthma and other health concerns that put them at higher risk for complications. Get your flu vaccine.
Flu vaccine. And if you're old enough, I'm sure you would recommend them get the COVID vaccine if they and their families agree.
Absolutely. I'm talking to kids about the COVID vaccine every day. So we absolutely recommend that for our kids 12 and older.
Okay. Well, Rhonda Heschel, it's been a pleasure. Rhonda is a pediatric nurse practitioner at Optum's Pediatric Specialist location. You can find her over at Powers and Woodman at their offices there. And the number to call is 597-8704. Rhonda, thanks again for joining us here on The Extra.
Thank you, Shannon. It was great.
And for our listeners, thank you for enjoying The Extra with us, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.